This morning I'll be reading to you the scripture from the book of Ephesians, from the first chapter, just two little verses. There are two verses that begin Paul's first prayer that's recorded in Ephesians, verses 15 and 16. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I said before, this is the first of two prayers in the book of Ephesians, and they're two beautiful prayers. I encourage you to write down the scripture references to go and read them. As a matter of fact, you might want to read the whole book of Ephesians. It's a great book. But these two prayers are two lovely prayers that are some of my favorite in the whole Bible. So the first one is found in Ephesians 1. It's verses 15 through 23. I just read those little introductory verses as we go to that prayer. The other one is found in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. We'll be looking at both of those two prayers over the next 4 weeks. As we look at Paul giving thanks for the church, and then also praying for the church to be open to seeing God at work in all their present circumstances. Again, since we're going to be dealing with Ephesians over the next 4 weeks, I encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. It's a pretty short letter, and I encourage you to read that over the next 4 weeks. You see, Ephesians is Paul's only letter that isn't written to one specific church. When you read all the rest of Paul's letters, and they're designed to go to a particular church in a particular context. And in the course of that letter, you'll find that he is dealing with some issues that have come up in those churches. And so part of what you'll read in all the rest of his letters are something specific to the church that he's writing. Ephesians, though, was written to be a circular letter, that is, to be sent around to all these different churches and be read. And so it's really kind of more doctrinal and more encouragement-oriented. It doesn't deal with one specific church's issues. As a matter of fact, some of the very earliest manuscripts in the opening verses that say, to the saints who are in Ephesians it says Ephesus. But in some of the early manuscripts, that's left blank, as if to say, whichever church is now reading this, insert your name in there. And so it is that, you know, we could insert Atascocita United Methodist Church in that and hear this as a letter even to us. And so I invite you to hear these words that I started with again as written to you, to you. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. What beautiful verses from Paul. Certainly they speak my heart about this church. And they invite us into this time of gratitude, because gratitude, what a powerful mindset is gratitude. What a powerful heart set is gratitude. Because in a world, well, in a church even, with all of its ups and its downs, its great faithfulness and its faithlessness, with all of its sinners and its saints, and friends, we're both, amen to that, amen, we always have a choice to be grateful. And as followers of Jesus, we recognize the gift of salvation and of abundant life, both now and forevermore, that we have been given, not on our own merits, but trusting in the grace of God poured out in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so it is that we are able to recognize all of life as a gift. We recognize all that we are All that we have is a gift. And we are called to live lives of gratitude. And those lives of gratitude pour out themselves in lives of generosity toward others. And so you may have figured out today's worship focus is on gratitude. It's Gratitude Sunday, and our children and our youth have led the way for us. I hope that, well, by now there's actually other cards. I can see them through the windows, that some of the adults at the other services. But in the beginning of the day, the cards that were out there were only from our children and from our youth. They're plastered across the windows. When you leave the sanctuary, you'll be able to see them. I encourage you to look at those. The ones from children and youth are kind of down at the far right on those windows. They are cute, they are kind of funny a little bit, and they are really inspirational. I invite you to look at those in a few minutes, and I'll be asking you to fill out your own gratitude card. You should have received that, right? You received that when you came in? Yes, oh good. I like it when it works. And in a few moments, I'll be asking you to fill those out as well so that you can finish the sentence that has been finished before you. I am grateful to God for this church because... So be thinking about that. And then here again, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Stewardship, you see, is grounded in gratitude, revealed in prayer, and lived in faith. And you'll hear that phrase more than once here in the coming weeks. And as we move toward making a commitment in our Imagine What's Ahead capital campaign that is designed to eliminate AUMC's $1.5 million worth of debt over the next 3 years, it's a three-year process, all of us are differently abled in our resources to make this really ambitious goal a reality. But you know what? We are equally abled in our choice to focus on gratitude for whatever gifts God has given us. And for however this particular church has helped to form us as a follower of Christ. And we're all equally abled to pray the prayer that we have been asked to be praying, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And then to respond in a way that will be so uniquely each family's. In a few weeks, everyone will be asked to make a faith commitment to this Imagine What's Ahead debt elimination campaign. And so, because this is the first sermon of the series, there's a couple of housekeeping things I need to say. And that is that when you make a commitment to that debt elimination, friends, it is over and above your giving to the general mission and ministry budget of the church. We need our annual budget because that's where we are able to support the mission and the ministry of the church to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And our tithes, that is proportional to our income, is given to that budget. And in the Bible, the tithe is the standard in the Bible is a tenth. That goes to the mission and ministry budget of the church so that we can live out our mandate to make disciples of Jesus Christ and help people on their particular path of discipleship. So it's really critical that we all continue to support that budget, the mission and ministry budget, and not simply move from supporting that budget to move to supporting debt elimination. And yet the two are connected. Right now, we pay from our annual budget $142,000 each and every year toward our debt service for principal and for interest. The debt that arises from this beautiful new building that was built several years ago, from the Life Center roof that will, please God, someday be finished. And when we eliminate that debt over the next 3 years, we will have freed up this $142,000 each and every year from our regular budget. Funds that can be used to further our inreach and our outreach into the community to make strong disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Friends, we simply continue the legacy of all the people who came before us, who made all that we are able to experience here at Atascocita Methodist possible. There's a story that I loved to read, and it's a story about this 80-year-old man who was found by his friend to be planting this small, short tree. And the friend said, "What kind of tree is that?" And the older man said, "Well, it's a peach tree. I love to eat peaches." And his friend said, "You are a crazy fool. You will never live long enough to eat the peaches off of that tree." And the man replied, "You know what? Somebody planted peach trees, and I love to eat peaches. And I've been eating peaches all of my years because somebody planted peach trees. And so I'm planting this peach tree so that somebody else gets to enjoy the fruit of this tree in the future." Bishop Schnazy, in his book, Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, he writes, "Every sanctuary and chapel in which we've ever worshiped, every church organ that has lifted our spirits, every pew where we have sat, every communion rail where we have knelt, every hymnal from which we have sung, every praise band that has touched our hearts, every church classroom where we have gathered with our friends, every church kitchen from which we've been fed, every church van that has taken us to camp, and every church camp that has a cabin in which we have slept are all the fruit of someone else's extravagant generosity. We have been the recipient of grace upon grace. We are the heirs. We are the beneficiaries of those who came before us, who were touched by the generosity of Christ enough to give graciously so that we could experience the truth of Christ for ourselves. And we owe the same to the generations to come." And it all begins with gratitude. Grateful for those who came before us in the faith. Grateful for God's provision in our lives. Grateful for the joy of community. Grateful for the challenge to grow more in love with God. Grateful for healing. Grateful for relationships restored. Grateful for a life of purpose and meaning. And so, whether today is your very first day to ever worship with us at AUMC, or you are a charter member and you've been here for 33 years, I ask you this question: for what are you grateful to God for this particular church? What brought you here? What keeps you here? Who has touched your heart or has helped your faith to grow? What inspires you? I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So I invite you to take out now that gratitude card that you were given. I'm going to ask that you spend just a moment in reflection and prayer, and then to fill in that blank, "I am grateful to God for this church because," and you don't have to sign your name. Of course, you're welcome to, but I'm going to give you just a few moments to do that. When you leave worship today, there will be some members of our gratitude team that will be right at the back of the sanctuary, and I'm going to invite you to give your card to them at the end of the service, and then watch for your card to be added with all the rest of those around on the windows in both the commons areas. And take time to read other people's gratitude cards over these next 3 weeks. When I personally think of the people that I am grateful for in this church, I have to say that Nancy and Kenny Shortsleeve are pretty close up there to the top. They, along with Rick and Susan Cade, are the chairpersons for our Imagine What's Ahead campaign. And they are coming up this morning because they have a really exciting announcement.
Good morning, church. Good morning, choir. Thank you, Deborah. You know, as you asked us to fill out this card, I can say I can speak for Nancy and also Rick and Susan Cade that We were so grateful for this church, for all the leaders and all the numerous people that worked behind the scenes on this campaign. It's not just us. There's a lot of folks out there, so I'm so grateful for them. It's been a joy for Nancy and I to serve along with Susan and Rick Cade as a campaign co-chairs of What's Imagined Ahead campaign. As Deborah shared with you, we are now in the commitment phase of this campaign. As you heard the number, we are officially announcing that the fundraising goal for this campaign is $1.5 million. But as she shared with you, attaining this goal is going to eliminate our long-term debt. And that money that we're using to pay our debt, we get to use that and repurpose it for vital ministry and missions right here in our community and beyond, and also for the ongoing care of our campus and facilities, which are the launch pad for those ministries that we currently are undertaking, but who knows what other ministries will come out of that.
So here's the thing. When I heard for the first time the goal $1.5 million, I said, are you kidding me? It seems really unattainable when you hear it for the first time. But I think I have a little news this morning that might be encouraging and might be exciting for you. I know it was for me. There has been, as Kenny said, there's been lots of people working on this campaign, and our gratitude is unending. This morning, I want to point out our lead gifts team, which has been led by Jim and Marlene Maston and John and Stacy Spindle. So they've been kind of out ahead of the campaign working to secure some lead gifts. And so I want to say one thing before I go on to announce these numbers, and that is that I see a lot of familiar faces from the first service, and you think you know what this number is, but it has changed since 8:30 this morning. Amen? I know we also owe an extreme amount of gratitude to God, because when I say these numbers, you will know that God truly has a hand in this campaign. So here we go. As of this moment, we have 18 households within our church family that have made lead gift commitments for a total of $659,000. I want to help you let that sink in. 18 families, $659,000. Praise God.
Amen. Wow, God is great, Nancy. Thank you for sharing that news. So the commitment campaign is off. The commitment phase of this campaign is off to a great start. And you know that $1.5 million, we believe it's really attainable. Amen. Thank you. But we know that God has wonderful plans for this church. You know, He's going to guide us in this Imagine What's Ahead campaign. And as we continue through this campaign, we just ask you to just invite you to continue praying that simple prayer that says, Lord, what do you want to do through me? As each of you gives generously, we'll reach our goal and even beyond that goal. And after all, our gifts to God are God's gifts to us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to Nancy and Kenny for coming up and sharing that exciting news. And just want you to be encouraged to be present for all of our worship services these next 3 weeks. There are some really special things that are going to be happening in each of the worship services, culminating on the 21st of October with Celebration Sunday. And worship will be a great celebration on that day. And as good United Methodists, we know if we're going to celebrate, we got to celebrate with food. Amen, right? And so we're going to have a lunch that day, and so it's free to you, and you got in your bulletin these Imagine What's Ahead RSVP cards today, and so if you know you're going to be here on the 21st, you are invited to come and have lunch with us on that day. We have two seatings. The one that pertains to this service is right after the service. It's at 12:15. That'll be over in the Life Center because the roof will be done by the 21st. And so you can put your number of attendees on there. And if you're not sure, you need to go home and look at your calendar. Take your RSVP card home with you, but bring it back with you next week, or drop it by the office so that we'll have a good head count for that day and for the caterer for that day. It is going to be this is a great time in the life of the church. It's a great time to be coming to Atascocita United Methodist Church. And I am grateful for you, and I am grateful for this church, and we are going to have a lot to celebrate. Will you pray with me? Holy God, Lord, we thank you for all those who've gone before us in the faith. Help us, O God, to have hearts that are full of gratitude, and that through our gratitude, we may just spill out our lives on behalf of other people. In Christ's name, amen.